Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. We're very glad you all have chosen to worship with us today. We especially like to welcome any visitors who are with us today and anyone looking to join our church family. Please visit with our pastor or one of our elders. Please remember to sign the registry at the end of each pew and pass it down and to check your bulletin for announcements. We do have lots going on. First of all, the scripture readings for this week are printed on the back of the bulletin. That's another reason to check your bulletin. And there's a sign-up sheet for Easter Lilies in the Narthex. The cost will be $10, with some of the proceeds going to the Smithville Food Pantry. Today is our celebration of feast. We will celebrate communion, collect for the food pantry, and have our covered dish luncheon. And everyone is invited for the luncheon after services. The worship committee will meet Monday at 6 p.m., and the deacons will meet Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Please add Eileen Cowan to your prayer list. She is in the hospital, and she's in room 108, if you would. Excuse me? Oh, I'm sorry. Again, room 108 for visitors. And on Thursday, April 21st, we will have our Monday Thursday event. There will be... Yes. Yes. Mumbling from the choir. There will be a sandwich supper at 6, followed by a video presentation and discussion of 24 hours that changed the world. At this time, let us stand, let us worship the Lord. Sleeper, awake, Christ's light is shining.
We are children of light.
Put aside the works of darkness. In the Lord, we are light.
We are children of light.
Even in the darkest valley, God's glory sustains us.
We are children of light.
Sleeper, awake, Christ's light is shining.
We are children of light.
Let us pray. God of light, be our vision, that we may see through your eyes, eyes that see the world as it can be, even in times of deepest despair, eyes that perceive your light, even in the darkest valleys, eyes that observe your grace and mercy, even amidst suffering and death. Help us live as children of light, that others may see in our living the reflections of your glory, through Christ, who shines in our lives. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 2 in the green hymnal, O Worship the King.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll have our meditation for the fourth Sunday of Lent. As we share the peace of Christ with one another, may the light of Christ shine in you also.
And also in you.
You may be seated. As we prepare for our scripture reading this morning, please join me in a prayer for illumination. The Word made flesh is the light of the world, shining on us each and every day of our lives. Hear the Word, see the light, and bear fruit as children of light. Amen. Our reading from the Old Testament this morning is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 69. Save me, God, for the waters have been closed on my very being. I am sinking in the deepest swamp, and there is no firm ground. I have stepped into deep water, and the waves are washing over me. I am exhausted with calling out. My throat is hoarse. My eyes are worn out. searching for my God. Rescue me from the mire before I sink in, so I shall be saved from those who hate me, from the watery depths. Let not the waves wash over me, nor the deep swallow me up, nor the pit close its mouth on me. Answer me, Lord God, for your faithful love is generous. In your tenderness, turn towards me. Do not turn away from your servant. Be quick to answer me, for I am in trouble. Come to my side. Redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know well the insults, the shame, and the disgrace I endure. Every one of my oppressors is known to you. Insult has broken my heart past cure. I hope for sympathy, but in vain for counselors, not one to be found. To eat, they give me poison. To drink, vinegar, when I was thirsty. Let your courage revive, you who seek God, for God listens to the poor. He has never scorned his captured people. Let heaven and earth and seas and all that stirs in them acclaim him, for God will save Zion. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for our next hymn, number 263, Alas and in My Savior Bleed.
Continue this morning with our Lenten reflections on people who were at the crucifixion scene. This morning our reading is from Luke 23, beginning with verse 32 and reading through verse 43. And I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place which is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is Christ of God, his chosen one. Soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him vinegar, and saying, If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him. This is the king of the Jews. It's a little joke Pilate was playing, he thought. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. This man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, he thought, guess that old childhood rabbi of his had been right when he told Joachim's parents that their boy would come to no good. This was about as no good as it got. Not that there was much he could do about it at this point. Then he felt his flesh tear as the cross he'd been nailed to was dropped into its hole. But his scream of pain died as he saw the look of contempt on his old buddy Korath's face. If Korath could keep from crying out in pure agony, well, so could he. It had been fun while it lasted. First, the thrill of slipping a few denarii from his father's glass-making business. And if his parents ever missed it, they never let on. And then, when he got bored with that, there was sneaking into the neighbors' houses, taking things more for the rush of it than from any need. Dear old soft-hearted mama, she could always be counted on to believe her youngest son's excuses, to talk Papa into making amends with the neighbors or to smooth things over with the authorities when the going got rough. But Mama and Papa had been dead for years. And it was probably for the best, because seeing their beloved son hanging on a cross would have killed them. Everyone knew Roman crucifixion was one of the most shameful and disgusting and disgraceful ways to die. And it was chiefly inflicted on slaves and the worst kind of criminals. You see, when people of the upper classes were found guilty of most crimes, they were merely exiled. And when they were put to death, which didn't happen all that often, a good lawyer could get you off then too, they were at least allowed the dignity of a private execution. There were so many times he could have changed his ways. He'd actually tried a couple of times to go straight, but working for his older brothers were almost as bad as this. Boring. How did they stand to just get up day after day and blow glass into household goods like Papa and his uncles and their Papa before him had done? The work was hot and hard, and everyone who came into the shop expected to be treated like Caesar just because they were spending a few coins there. He thought his brothers' wives were all fat and their children whiny and obnoxious. Family, the price of sand or soda, problems with the stupid apprentices, the latest designs from Rome. It's all they ever talked about. Oh, sure, there was the odd bit of happiness when one of his nephews ran up to him and hugged him for no reason, or when a piece he was working on turned out particularly well. But most days he hated everything about his life and dearly wished for a way out of it. So when he had run into some of his old pals at the local inn one night a couple of years earlier, it hadn't been that hard to fall in with their plans. They were the ones who had introduced him to Korath, their leader. Korath. Now there was a man's man. One who didn't take anything from anybody. You'd never hear him apologizing to a customer because his order was a day late, or trying to keep his wife happy by buying her new jewelry. Not Korath. Joachim's heart had begun beating faster when they told him of their plans. They were going to establish a base in the desert, amass a small fortune by ambushing passing caravans, and then launch a rebellion against Rome. It was so exciting, and it just might work. If it didn't, well, then they'd divide the spoils and keep going until they were far, far away from the empire. They needed someone who knew something about glass making and who wasn't above a little thievery when it was needed. And it had worked well for over a year. The caravans they took were small, and they always hid their tracks or let the desert destroy any evidence. They left no survivors. They never attacked in the same place, and no one knew they were even out there. So when Korath invited Joachim to go into Jerusalem with him, no one gave it a second thought. It was Passover, and the city would be packed with Jews from all over the country. It would be the ideal time to recruit some new followers and pick up a few supplies as well. Who knew the Jewish zealot sitting next to them in the inn was actually a Roman soldier in disguise? Or that one of their own had sold information about them to the authorities? All they knew was that just as they were carefully backing away from the jeweler's shop with a bag full of stones, Roman soldiers had come at them from all directions. They hadn't even had time to reach for their daggers concealed beneath their tunics. There was no trial. In the Roman Empire of the first century, being caught red-handed meant punishment was carried out without a trial. And no one was sentenced to jail. Roman prisons served only two purposes: either to hold a person for trial or to hold a person for execution. Crimes of violence, incendiarism, poisoning and theft, carrying weapons with criminal intent, possession, purchase, or sale of poison, all carried a penalty of death. And there were no humane ways of execution. The Romans could not be called soft on crime. There was crucifixion, or if you preferred, there was being pulled from limb to limb by being tied to carts. Well, that day, there were three of them to die: Joachim and Korath and a man named Jesus. Joachim remembered seeing Jesus ride into Jerusalem several days earlier. And then the man had been treated like some kind of hero, even though he was riding on a young donkey instead of a great white horse. Later, Joachim had heard Jesus' teaching. What he said made a lot of sense, even if it did upset some of the priests. There were rumors even that Jesus could heal people too. And he'd heard a few people speculating that Jesus might be the Messiah. And yet, here Jesus was, hanging between him and Korath, dying just like they were. Messiah. Ha! That was a good one. Like God really cared about people like Joachim. He wasn't going to wait around for some pie-in-the-sky savior. He was going to make things happen. Or would have, if he hadn't been caught. He groaned. No one noticed him. Most of the people were busy making fun of Jesus, including Korath. There were a few of Jesus' followers there, and one woman Joachim realized was Jesus' mother. His mother. Joachim thought briefly of his own mother, of the unshed tears brimming in her eyes when she'd caught him stealing from the shop. He shook his head, trying to rid himself of that memory. Ah! It hurt to move. The insults grew louder, grew uglier. He recognized one of the voices. It was Korath saying, "Are you the Christ? Then save yourself and us." What a jerk. Joachim wondered why he had ever admired that man. He looked again at Jesus, really looked at him, and knew, maybe for the first time in his life, what goodness really was. Korath was still going on when Joachim yelled at him, "You're about to die! Don't you fear God at all? After all, it serves us right. We're getting what we deserve. We knew the law, and we broke it. But this man is innocent. This man has done nothing wrong. Leave him alone." It was getting harder to breathe. Yet, all of a sudden, it seemed terribly important for Joachim to say something to Jesus. He didn't know why or what, and it would be too little too late to make any difference. But still, he knew he had to try. He struggled to get enough air to speak. "Jesus," he gasped, "remember me when you come into your kingdom." It was all he could get out. But somehow he felt, what? Peace? The crowd grew quiet for a moment. Would Jesus respond to this common criminal? Could he? Was Joachim too late? But then, slowly, Jesus raised his head. He looked into Joachim's dimming eyes, into his heart, and said softly to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Where, we ask, when we ask, is not as important as that we ask. Jesus, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, remember us when you come into your kingdom and have mercy on us. Amen. Let us stand now and say what we believe using the words from the ecumenical version of the Nicene Creed found on page 15 of the blue hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
We are called to live in hope and to share this hope with the world. Let us offer thanks to God for all God has given us by sharing generously of ourselves and our resources. Through our gifts, may all experience the hope that can be found in the life-giving God. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings. Saving us from those who would harm us. As grateful sheep of your pasture, we rejoice in your goodness and mercy, and we offer these gifts of gratitude, that we may share with others the blessings that we have received from your hand. Amen. You may be seated.
beloved of God, we come to this table even as the criminal came to Jesus, aware of our sins and our shortcomings, with nothing but ourselves to offer. Yet still, we are welcome here as beloved children at the family table. Believe the good news and the great mystery of faith. Christ has died for us. Christ has risen for us. Christ will come again for us. As we await his coming, we join this joyful feast of the people of God. Scripture tells us that they will come from east and west and from north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites all who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. With thanksgiving, let us offer God our grateful praise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and serve you. But we forgot your promises and abandoned your commandments. In your mercy, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. When we were slaves in Egypt, you freed us and led us through the waters of the sea. You fed us with heavenly food in the wilderness and satisfied our thirst from desert springs. On the holy mountain, you gave us your law to guide us in your way. Through the waters of Jordan, you led us into the land of your promise, and you sustained us in times of trial. You spoke through prophets, calling us to turn away from our willful ways to new obedience and righteousness. You sent your only Son to be the way to eternal life. Therefore, we praise you, join our voices with the choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He took upon himself the weight of our sin and carried the burden of our guilt. He shared our life in every way, and though tempted, was sinless to the end. Baptized as your own, he went willingly to his death and by your power was raised to new life. In his dying and in his rising, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery and sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
Thank you.
gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Send us out in the power of the Spirit to live for others as Christ lived for us, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all peoples and nations. By your Spirit, draw us together into one body and join us to Christ the Lord, that we may remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, forever and ever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this wine from the gifts you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. We give you thanks that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he died, took bread, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Ministering to you in his name, I give you this bread. Thank you. the same way after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Ministering to you in his name, I give you this cup. Let us pray. Loving God, you graciously feed us who have received these holy mysteries with the bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the life-giving power of your Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 66 in the green hymnal, "To God Be the Glory."